This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky.
You're not from here, but you're coming at us live from the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 25th, and this is officially episode 900. It's brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hold on.
Oh, boy. There we
Set
go.
In the heart of the Bluegrass State lies the United States' premier equestrian facility. The Kentucky Horse Park needs no introduction, and horses and riders who come here are truly the world's best athletes. Coming to Rolex is a dream for many. Many will hope to get here, and few will make it. But for those who do, they have one common goal in mind: conquer the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Rolex, the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event here at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. And we got on the air, Jamie.
We're here. It's raining outside. What is this wet thing coming from the sky? This is officially.
You don't see that too often.
Luke is his first time ever seeing rain.
He
was
is that
like,
right?
He was looking up like, "What is that?" So yeah, he is. He's a desert baby. So we're here. You guys are busy doing some audio stuff, but it's an exciting, beautiful morning. It's not hot. It's going to be perfect. Everything in Lexington is green, and we have some scores coming in. A whole day of dressage has already happened, and it's looking good.
Yes, it
everything
is.
It's looking up.
We were here
Happy
yesterday.
Birthday.
Thank you. We were here yesterday and got to run around, and we didn't. Gotta be honest, I didn't watch a whole lot of. Dressage, big surprise there. But Leslie from Horse Nation is going to be coming down and joining us in a few minutes. She watched all the dressage yesterday, so she's going to give us a report of that.
She slept well. I'm yeah. sure. All yeah. the excitement
yesterday. Here she is now. Come on in, Leslie. Have
oh
a seat.
My goodness. No,
Look, everybody's showing up at the same time. How are you?
Yeah, you guys.
So, Leslie, have a seat.
Have a seat, Leslie.
My
okay. Leslie, we're on the air. Sit down.
Yeah, have
talk.
A seat.
Come on.
Join us.
Oh, my gosh. Big hugs. I finally get to put a face with the voice. That's awesome. Well, how's it going?
Great.
Come on, about 2 inches from the mic.
Okay. Yeah, so how'd dressage go? Did you sleep well? Was all the excitement?
I've not been sleeping at all.
Huh. It's too much. Too much excitement. Where were you? What'd you do last night?
Partying. No, just kidding. No, I was up until like 2 a.m. writing, cranking it out.
Okay, so you were actually doing work stuff, not hitting the hotel bar. Gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe tonight.
Yeah. Tonight's Friday, you know, whatever. So what did it look like yesterday? I thought, I read a couple people, because I stalk everybody on Facebook. Some people said that they were not happy with their scores, but, you know, they're not that bad.
Yeah, they're a little all over the map. But
yeah.
I think everyone, like I personally was so happy to see three U.S. riders at the press conference yesterday.
On the podium. Oh. One, two, three.
Yeah. And to see Michael Pollard sitting on top of the leaderboard was so exciting. I was listening to the Eventing Radio Show Rolex preview, and they had Michael on. And
to see Michael Pollard is a good thing. To see Michael Pollard on top of the leaderboard is a whole different thing, but that's exciting too.
But he was just talking about how, you know, Mensa is sort of in the twilight of his career. You know, he was ridden by Carl before him, and then Andrea Leatherman before that, and he just really wanted to do right by the horse this weekend, and give him the horse deserves a good 4-star result on his record.
Yeah.
So that was exciting.
That's great.
So he's leading the way with a 49.5. I noticed that all of them were saying that the judging has been kind of tough yesterday.
Yeah. It was definitely tough. I think they're leaving it open for some higher scores today, maybe.
And a lot of times the second day, many times it changes the standings because you sometimes have the better horses coming in on the second day.
Right. Yeah.
But you're still happy to be sitting in the top five, top 10.
Anytime sitting that high, you're happy.
Yeah.
What happened? Because he's like one of my personal crushes, West Coast Eventer, James Alliston. What happened to him yesterday? I see him and Parker are sitting in last right now.
James had a very obedient, quiet test. I think the horse was what the judges were really rewarding horses that were bringing a little razzle dazzle into it.
Yeah.
And his horse is just a little quiet, he was a little low and wide open in his frame. And I think they were rewarding riders who are sort of like really pushing their horses
super forward
up and like putting on a little bit of a show.
Okay, that makes sense then, because Parker is he's at every horse trial on the West Coast. I mean, he's got so many miles.
Like,
what happened? Then you look at a 69, it's not awful. I mean, it's not an Rolex 80.
Jamie would love to have that score.
And a non-FBI competition would be awesome.
The horse was very obedient, very quiet, maybe just a little bit, not quite fancy enough for what the judges were looking for.
Yeah. Any standouts that, besides obviously the number 1, 2, 3 riders?
Oh, man. Crown Talisman knocked my socks off.
Really?
Doug Payne's horse. He looked like he could just be compressed into a passage at any moment. He had so much expression, such an extravagant mover. I think that's a horse that, unfortunately, he withdrew. Here he's withdrawing after the dressage, and he got the Landover grant to go to France and compete at
Samuelin. That's how I say it. I don't know how to say it. Samir. Thank you.
Yeah.
I flunked French. 4 years.
I flunked French. You took 4 years of French.
And I flunked every year. Yeah. I hated that teacher.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I can't wait for the WAG.
I even remember her name. Mrs. Moriarty. She's the only teacher name I remember from high school. Hey, we're going to have guests stopping by here all day, and I just told them to show up between 9 and 10:30. And I know there's someone that has just stopped by that's going to have to go out and ride in a little bit here. Okay. So let's say hi to Elisa Wallace. It's good to meet you in person.
Hey, guys.
Okay, now I know who you are.
Yeah, you looked at me kind of funny. I was like, she looks familiar, but
I don't have my helmet on.
Did you hang around?
Just
hang around.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how's it going, or how is it staying?
Very good. Yeah, we did our first performance yesterday.
We'll remind everybody, Elisa's been on our show many times recently, but for new listeners, she has 2 Mustangs here doing demonstrations. So I got the watch yesterday.
Oh, good.
They showed you up.
Well, I was trying new stuff because I was the last one to go, so I didn't really care. So I was just playing around with them at the end.
You know what came out, though? They weren't always the most cooperative, but what came out to me and the audience watching around me was what comics they are.
They're hilarious.
Oh, my God.
They
were playing for the audience.
Really?
They're just big old fat hams, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Rune just decided to leave and go check out the muck bucket to see if there's water or food, maybe.
I noticed, too, you had helping out, making sure that he didn't at least end up in the dressage ring.
I made him help me. Put him to work. Yeah, we actually had a bit of a flurry in the morning because I forgot my treats at home. So he had to find me some motivators.
So what's your demo? What am I going to see today?
Ruth is sticking his lip out a lot.
And she shrugged her shoulders like, I don't know.
I don't know, whatever comes up.
I'm going to roll like
lots of lip curling.
so funny.
Rune now thinks it's fun to play and do, like, the Humpty Dance, and I'm trying to do changes on him, but he is a 4-year-old, so. But
You're talking about flying changes, uh-huh. for your Mustang. Let me just clear that up for anybody.
She managed to accomplish a few.
Yeah, I got after him. I was like, come on, stop being a brat. And then he was like, oh, yeah.
I could tell at one point you were thinking, I got to get after him about this, but there's an audience watching. So I got to be careful.
I was just having fun. I mean, he's just a young horse, so I don't. You know, he's just playing around, so I don't really mind.
Now, which one were you out there? No halter, no bridle, no saddle.
Beginning?
Yeah, in the beginning.
Oh, that was Fledge.
That was Fledge, yeah. Mm-hmm. She was just out there with a rope around his neck.
Right, yeah. And, you know, Rue and I can do that as well, but I tend to make sure I have the bridle on first just so I can keep his attention, and then I can take it off. But you just never, like, in the beginning, kind of our first performances, there's a bit of an atmosphere there, but they just love it. But, yeah, there's a bit of a moment because I've been working on getting them to lay down in my spare time together. And so
I have a guy's gig over here, lay down one, jump the other one over it.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting close.
I got Fletch to lay down, and then Rune was just like, I'm going to go say hello. And he left. And I was like, and the fence out there is only about a foot tall. And I'm like, don't go out the gate. Don't go out that. I don't think that would be good. He stopped and visited with people. And then my dad grabbed him and started walking him back and then just let him go. And he walked back to me. I'm like, silly Mustang.
Good job, Dad.
Audience love that, by the way.
Hey,
they always love it when they come back to Mama.
Oh, that's cool.
But, yeah, I'm just using it as just playing around with some new stuff that we're doing because we both tend to get a little bored. Doing our same old routine. So, just having fun. They really enjoy the experience. They love to perform, and they love seeing people. And he had a lot, like, geez, Fledge is, like, famous.
That came across yesterday. That really did come across how much they like being out there. And they were just showing off.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, man, we're going to do the show with or without you.
Yeah. I mean, they're
funny.
Yeah, they have a mind of their own. And so it's just about having fun and playing. And there's no pressure. Even though I put pressure on myself.
Well, speaking of pressure, how's Fiante?
He's doing well. Yeah.
I saw you got on him, like, on day three.
Yeah, I was able to sit on him on day three. He is wild.
Yeah?
He is a 7-year-old and was captured last August and was just gelded in January.
Oh, fun.
So he's one of those. He's not – he can hurt you if you want. I mean,
they all can hurt you.
There was a moment, I would say, the first day when you're working kind of the zones on where you can touch, and that hind leg went whizzing by me, and I was like, yeah, that would have hurt.
Yeah.
So he's very, very, very powerful. So
how different is he than the
He's a bit of a combination of all three of the Mustangs that I've done.
Yeah.
You know, Nim, who was very much in the shell and was really hard to kind of so super scared, he has a little bit of fear, but he's also curious, like how Rune is, and he also has a presence like Fletch. So you just kind of look at him and you're like in awe. You're like, you're so pretty.
He's
like,
so pretty.
You catch yourself just kind of like, oh, wait, there's a little bit of drool. Like, yeah.
Well, but Leslie's going to get a Mustang and event it too.
Right? One horse is enough for me.
Well, she is supposed to already have one. She's just slacking.
Yeah, Jamie's slacking.
The adoption is not till at the end of May.
Oh, that's right. Well, Jessica Phoenix actually has a student that has a Canadian Mustang that's kicking around the 2-star, and he's doing awesome.
Well, Jessica's coming up next. We'll have to ask her about that.
He's so cute.
Yeah. Well, we have to. Unfortunately, only have a certain amount of stalls. So one's got to go before one comes in. So anybody's
well, kick one out
for a horse. I know.
Come on now.
I'm trying.
Moving along.
I tried to send it to my friend Nancy. She's like, no, I don't need another horse. Thanks. I'm trying because I want the vote. But, yeah, no, I mean, you're definitely the poster child for what to do with a Mustang. And don't worry, I will call you.
And I did put in a good word for you with Tootie Bland at Road to the Horse to try and get you over there competing for the $100,000.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. And like, Inga, I get tired of trying to train my horses to slide and stop.
No, you don't have to worry about that for Road to the Horse.
Well, and then people get on my case about pulling my horse's mane, and they're like, you made your horse look all English. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's what I am. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else.
I think Road to the Horse needs an English girl.
What do you think I
think
am?
Do.
Like, I'm not Western. I just pretend every now and then. So
you don't have boots and a belt?
I do.
There you do. I say you're set.
Well, you got to play the part if you're going to do it.
But there's nothing wrong with sticking to those English roots. And by God, wearing a helmet every time. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, awesome.
And I also like to wear a little bit of plug for Tipperary. I always put my Tipperary vest on.
Yeah, we noticed that.
Yeah, we noticed that.
I try to support the vital organs. So,
It's not the combination with the air vest and...
No, that could work out bad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Jump off, forget, and that'd be the last time you see him.
Well, it's not the hard to
find him back in Nevada.
It's hard to clip it when you don't have any tack on.
Well, you could, you would just go, oh, God, here it comes, pull.
See, now the Western guys would call that desensitization.
To a certain degree. Absolutely.
Have you rubbed them all in tarps and stuff yet?
I haven't worked the tarp with Fianto yet. But I was kind of short on time with working with him. But we made a fair bit of progress. I mean, I was able
to
get on him and walk him around both ways. But it's still kind of like, oh, God.
Do I like my bones?
Yeah, it's like the first 30 days can be the most stressful because it's like you're working.
Well, you haven't had that trust yet.
You don't.
Either way.
And it's that adrenaline rush, and you'll see on the videos, you'll see me go take a deep breath, and it's like I just need to breathe right now because, whew.
Yeah. Well, what you're doing is working. What time is your demo today?
11:30.
11:30 where?
It is in the demonstration ring, which is right behind the vendors row outside.
It's between the indoor arena and the outdoor arena.
It's like smack dab in the middle.
Right.
So
you'll see it. There'll be a whole bunch of different people watching.
Right. Even walking up, the competitors walking up from the stables.
Well, we will
look for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Elisa. It's so good to meet you in person. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now you know
good
what
to
I look
meet your
like.
Dad, too.
I know what you look like now. I know what Leslie looks like. She's awesome.
She's been on our show for 2 years every week, and we had never seen her before.
Well, that's how it goes.
Thank you, Elisa. Good luck today. Next up, we have joining us Jessica Phoenix, one of our favorites. Hi, Jessica.
How are you,
good.
Guys?
Pull a chair up here.
Great to see you.
Good to see you, too. What country are you representing today?
Yeah, we can't tell by your coat, your hat, and your...
The loud Canada hat.
Very Canadian today.
New country called Canada.
I like to pronounce it Canada myself, but so just make sure you're close to
the
microphone.
That's
so how's it going? Welcome to Kentucky. I mean, you live here, right?
No, we live in Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, just north of Toronto.
I think I every time I see you, you're here.
Yep.
So
you're
in Toronto. You're down here. How'd it go yesterday?
It was awesome. I was really proud of Pavarotti.
You're sitting in 12th place at this point?
Yeah.
With a score of?
I think 54 something.
It was 54.7.
There we go. Yeah, it was, he's an amazing horse. I love riding him. I love working with him. And just take him into that Rolex arena and feel his movement. And he never got nervous. He was so cool in there. Like, he just cruised around like he's done it his whole life. And then just the changes we need to work on a little bit, but he's still pretty green at the level.
So, people that say their horse is green in a 4-star.
Yeah.
So not fair. Oh, he's green. Let me go to Rolex. He looks so green. I'm trying not to get bucked off.
Exactly.
I don't know. That happens to me daily, too.
Well, how's your baby?
He's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's at the pool right now swimming.
Oh, really?
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, I...
You must be in a heated outdoor pool here in Lexington.
It's an indoor pool. Yeah, the Best Western.
Oh, wow.
Pretty high class
over
there.
Yeah, you are staying high class here.
Yeah, large.
Now, tell us about Pavarotti. Are you own this one, or do you have an owner in
this one? Don owned him in 2011, and that's the year that he ended up going to the Pan Ams, and he won the gold medal there. And then he did Blenheim last fall, and he was 10th. This year, he's done some combined tests. He's just doing dressage at Rolex, and then we'll go on to the CIC at Jersey Fresh in Bromont.
And did you have a couple of horses entered?
Yeah.
I think that's the only one.
Exponential was entered as well.
I was hoping to see him.
Yeah, just for dressage as well. We were doing a flat lesson, and about halfway through, he took a couple of funny steps behind. So, that horse owes me nothing. So we just...
Yeah. That was your wag horse.
He's amazing. Yeah. So nothing serious, just something that we didn't want to push this weekend, and he should be back out.
I Jessica. We had her. She was our spotlight rider for the WEG, so it's been 6 years.
Isn't that insane?
You were a child.
It's crazy.
I want to share with you, like, one of my top horror memories of all time.
Oh, no.
Do you know Leslie, by the way?
Tell me, it wasn't in the water. It was. At the WEG, and I was walking, looked up at the jump, and it was incredible question at the head of the lake that year, and it was a jump in, and then you came and it was jumped up onto a bank and then bounced that incredible drop, and you guys, I mean, he just took an enthusiastic leap, you know, off of that bounce, and you guys went down in this tremendous splash.
Yeah,
and then you rose V-neck like out of
divine Jessica rises.
To me, it was just like the ultimate, you know, cross country moment of just like loving it, and then just like scrapping your way
that
through.
That was shown over and over and over again on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
So amazing. It was insane. That horse.
You literally cannot see the horse or the rider with the splash.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the next day. Whatever hotel we were at, we came down and the newspaper was sitting page on the newspaper.
No way.
And all you could see was my head. And you couldn't see, there was just water everywhere. You could see my head and you could see a bell boot in the background. You couldn't see Tucker at all. You couldn't see my body. It was a miracle.
We were all convinced she was stapled to the saddle.
I mean, I don't know, one, I don't know how I stayed on, and two, I don't know how he stayed up, like, because he was down and he just got up. And then he finished the whole course with, like, one time falls. He was amazing.
You were that was lucky, actually, because if you'd done that on any other obstacle or jump, you would have seen your knees hit the ground. You would have been disqualified. But this way, nobody could see anything.
It was insane. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. Audio one,
and I don't ever want to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm not a
incredible
fan of watching myself on the brink of death.
No. You know what? It didn't feel unsafe in the moment. It just felt,
yeah.
Like I always feel cross country, everything moves so slowly in your mind, and you have all this time to think about like what's going on and every reaction. It's just very slow motion in my mind when it's happening. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that it ever feels dangerous. But yeah, I certainly didn't like watching that.
But now tell us, speaking of cross country, we took the to walk last night, and it looked to me, novice I am, more difficult asking some more things along the way than last year.
Yeah, you know, I would say that it's pretty relentless out there. It's not that anything is not doable. I think all of it is very jumpable. I think that it just keeps coming at you. I mean, you have very few let-up fences, and every other fence is a serious combination and a serious question. It's not that it's incredibly huge. I mean, it is Rolex, so it is a genuine force there. It's not rideable.
I would say it's a WEG preliminary 4-star. It really does.
It is relentless.
Yeah.
It's the combination.
And can they
make
the skinnies in the corners any skinnier? But pretty much if you have a fat horse, you're hitting the flags.
You know, I would say compared to what we've been jumping this year, I think it's the East Coast. I think that the horses should read the questions well. I think it's just going to be a serious mental game for the riders, because you can't let off for a minute out there. You have to be in every single moment. Yeah.
How about the time? Are they you worried about the time on this one?
I don't know.
What were they giving?
Yeah, it's a distance course, and I think we've wheeled it twice. And I mean, I think obviously some people will make the time. Being a 4-star, I don't think many people will make the time.
The 27 number jumps, right?
Yeah.
With 43 asks?
Exactly.
Or 43 obstacles?
It's huge. And it's just so technical. I mean, everything is A, B, C, B.
That's the way the sport's going, is less gallopy, nickel, without, and that's the kind of difficult part of the whole thing, is you don't get a big warm-up like you used to on A, B, and C to head out on D, and so it's less gallopy jumps and more technical, and that's what presents the challenge, is you go the whole time.
Yes, absolutely.
How about the Head of the Lake? They came up a little bit this year, too. And Head of the Lake is the big water obstacle here at Rolex, for those that don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think by that point in the course, they'll be riding. I mean, they'll be
That's
jumping into the water,
three-quarters of the way
right?
through, pretty
yeah,
much.
They've
yeah,
they've already jumped through two waters. The first log coming in, I think, is going to jump really well. And then it's been, I think some people will go on four, some people will go on three down to the fish. And, of course, whenever you have those contoured fences like that, horses cannot read them very well, so it's really accurate on that line on the way in. And then, of course, I think the next jump back through the Head of the Lake is always one of the most difficult when they have those rails that you can look through, jump the cliff into water. Very difficult.
And now Leslie put that whole Head of the Lake thing in your head again. I mean, you didn't know about it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it'll ride pretty well. I think it doesn't look trappy at all. I mean, it looks like a safe course and a good safe course. I think it's just going to be run outs that at the end of the day, clear rounds are going to really move you up the leaderboard.
Are you worried about any one or two in particular, or is it?
I think just the general consensus around the barn is they have a new two-stride obstacle with parallel brush fences.
I saw that one yesterday.
And I mean, when we were walking up along the backside of it, it almost looked like they were in a straight line. Like not parallel, in a straight line.
Oh, wow.
And then when you get up really close to it, you can see that it's a very sharp angle in two strides across those brushes, I think.
And a lead-up jump to it, actually.
Well, and
I think, they have to make a hard left.
Yeah,
to hit that.
The jump, I actually think, will set them up well for it. It's always better to have a jump before those technical questions. And then you're not,
not at a full,
you know, like a full gallop.
And then it becomes a one and a half stride between
exactly,
the two.
Exactly, yeah. But I think that will be one of the biggest questions, and where it comes in the course, the horses will be just catching their breath and getting back into their gallop after the top end of the course there. So I think that could be one of the most challenging fences.
For Leslie and I, because she's an eventer as well, and she's way better than me, too. But as an eventer, when you are heading into that Starbucks and you've got Rolex ahead of you, what is your kind of mental preparation leading up to the last couple seconds?
For me, it's always very business as usual. I think the horses that you're on, you've prepared for this moment. It's a step on the path that you're hoping to go in after this event. And I think that you've practiced enough on the horses when they're at this level, and you're ready for it. And I think it's definitely a jump-by-jump kind of day.
Yeah.
And you go out and you get every single jump done one at a time, and it's very businesslike. I don't feel a whole lot of pressure. I don't feel a lot of anxiety or excitement. It's just very business as usual leaving that Starbucks.
See, and that's why she's at the top of the sport.
That's
We've
right.
already learned that she makes everything slow motion in her head, which is that's got to be an incredible skill, because to me, I feel like when I'm galloping across the country, they're coming so fast. Oh, my God, what am I doing now? So the fact that you can break it down and, like, almost zen-like.
She just doesn't sleep the night before, so she's groggy.
Yeah, exactly. The last horse trial I was at, my baby cut teeth in the trailer the night before cross country. So
isn't that awesome?
That was super fun.
Oh, I remember. I remember all of those years.
Yeah.
So fun.
I had.
How old is your
He
child
just
now?
Turned four.
Wow, my gosh.
Yeah, so he, you know, he just
So that was right
tonight.
After the wag.
Awesome.
That was right after or before the wag? You had the baby.
I think he was 6 months old at the WEG.
At the WEG, yeah, it was right before. Yeah.
Yep.
I based my my birth plan kind of and riding plan around you. And I was like, well, she competed like 2 weeks after she had her baby. I could get on. And so I went to a horse trial 3 weeks after, just took him, dropped him down.
She
the
was swearing at you the whole
That's
time.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, Jackie Phoenix did it. She did this. I hate her.
Oh. Yeah, I have to say, I mean, if it wasn't the year of the WEGs, I maybe would have taken more time.
Yeah. Yeah,
so if you do it
later.
Again, you have to do it on an off year death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you, because people ask me this all the time, are you done?
Well, you know, I definitely think we'll have another child, but not in a rush.
Yeah.
You're still young.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not in a rush.
As
yeah.
we've already found out, she's going to do it again. Not me.
Oh.
Good.
Did you have an epidural?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know why do people want to have this natural birth?
I don't know about this.
It's all that bonding crap, which you give up on about, what, 2 hours in?
We bonded just fine.
Yeah, it was great. I couldn't feel any pain, and I was just loving him.
The first part was easy.
That's
it's
easy.
The damn
yeah.
9 months leading up to it.
Exactly. It's very true. But yeah, very true.
Jessica,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
No,
we wish you the best this weekend.
You.
I know you have some things to get to, so
yeah.
So good to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right,
yeah.
Take care.
Absolutely.
Good luck. We'll
Thanks
be watching you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be cheering. That's in 50,000 of our friends.
Bye.
Of course, Jessica, as we said, is riding a horse by the name of Pavarotti.
God, he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
He had a lovely pass yesterday.
All her horses are gorgeous. Let's face it, that's a true statement.
I bet her husband's handsome, too. Because
he is.
Is he?
Yeah,
he's
a cow guy,
beautiful.
Actually. He's a cow guy. He's a big farmer dude. And he goes around he's a judge. He goes around the world judging cattle at cattle shows.
Well,
I know. And
that's what we should show.
He looks like
a little paper.
Let's take a break. We have to hear from our sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, and we'll be right back. Leslie, can you stay for a minute or
Absolutely.
Two?
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Spring is here, and so are pastures full of luscious green grass. Spring grass is high in vitamins, minerals, and sugar. Most horses have little problem adjusting to the changing sugar levels found in spring pasture, but for at-risk horses, grazing on sugary grass can lead to big problems such as colic or laminitis. By paying attention to daily temperatures and following a couple of simple rules, you can limit your horse's access to such sugar-laden grasses. In the spring and fall of the year, limit grazing or stop it completely when daytime temperatures are warm and nighttime temperatures are below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Under these conditions, the grass produces sugar during the day and it stores it in its leaves. At night, the plant transfers the stored up sugars to the roots and stems to fuel the growth. If the evening temperatures are cold, the grass will not make that transfer and all of the sugar will remain in the leaves where it is readily available to your horse. In the summer when days are sunny and nights are warm, it is safe to allow grazing in the early morning hours, but it should be restricted late in the afternoon or evening. This is because most of the sugar that was produced the previous day has been used for growth overnight. Therefore, the level of sugar in the leaves is low in the morning. But as the day progresses, the grass once again accumulates sugar in its leaves in preparation for nighttime growth. So later in the day, the more sugar-packed leaves become. Because grass is a great source of essential vitamin E, horses that are restricted from grazing, especially easy keepers and horses in hard work, may develop vitamin E deficiency. Lack of vitamin E can result in sore, stiff muscles, and neurological problems. Elevate Maintenance Powder from Kentucky Performance Products is an affordable way to provide your horse with the vitamin E missing from his diet. Each scoop provides 1,000 international units of natural vitamin E, and natural vitamin E is absorbed and retained in the tissues at a much greater rate than the synthetic vitamin E found in many feeds and supplements. Best of all, when you choose a Kentucky Performance Products supplement, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, we're back here at the Kentucky Horse Park at the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, and we have guests that are just stopping by this morning. And walking up to the table, we just had Clayton Fredericks. Hey, Clayton, how are you? Right up against the mic.
Yeah, very good. How are you?
Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's nice to be back in Kentucky, although the weather this morning wasn't as nice as it has been the last couple of days, but they tell me it's going to fine up and be lovely for Saturday, Sunday.
Basically, we had torrential rains last night and this morning, and that should help, though, cross-country course a little bit.
Yeah, I think
it'll stop around noon, they
say. It's always nice to freshen up the ground a little bit and take some sting out, but the ground out there on the horse park is always exceptional, and this year is no no different. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, all the riders love coming here because the ground's so good and the horses love galloping on that Kentucky turf.
Let's remind everybody, Clayton Fredericks is the coach of the Canadian team. We just talked to Jessica Phoenix. She was just on, so she was all happy and bubbly, but Jessica's always happy and bubbly. So, what do you think of the Canadian team so far?
It was a pretty tough dressage day yesterday. Scores weren't really getting thrown out there, so I think everyone who actually did dressage yesterday will probably now be being hopeful that the judges don't suddenly get too friendly to today's riders. But that's dressage. It can always be better, and yesterday was no exception for, I don't think, any of my riders. They all felt that things could be better, but we're in a bit of a team building phase at the moment, and it's always sort of, it's hard. It's always easy when you're standing on the podium winning. Everyone's smiling then, but, they're just working away.
As a coach, what are you looking for in the riders? Are you taking notes on who, I don't know if you have much of a say on who's going to be on your team. Are you making notes of what the riders are doing? Do you approach Rolex as a coach at all?
I hope to think I'm approaching it as a coach. It's always difficult making that transition from a rider. I still sort of sometimes are thinking when I'm walking courses and thinking, about how I would attack things from my perspective on the horses that, I know. But it's very important to try to really talk and get a feeling for what the riders and their particular horses are going to need on the course. And that's something that takes a bit of time to develop relationships. So, I've been doing this probably just over 12 months now. And it takes time to build relationships with your riders and really know and understand how all the horses respond, You believe it or not, you don't actually get to see as much of the cross-country, especially the cross-country elements of the horses as you would like. You might get to see two or three jumps at every competition.
Right.
So, it takes time, and we're still working through that process. But we walk the course out there. I think it's a strong track, and luckily we've got some pretty established cross-country riders and horses. So we're hoping that that's going to be our strong point.
Good.
Is this a WEG qualifier for Canada as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The riders will really be trying to post a good score here. I think we are in the situation that we want to only take to WEG horses and rider combinations that can produce a very good performance. We need a good performance. Funding's not easy at this in this climate. So
that changed for you guys recently in Canada too, didn't it? The whole funding situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that had pretty good funding, and then suddenly lack of performances, and
they literally took the carpet out from under.
Exactly. Just as I came along, funnily.
He brought the Austrian. Everything's
fine. No money for you.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, look, the thing is, I think it's important that everyone's realistic about what's going to win medals, or actually what's important for the WEG is that we qualify for the next Olympic Games, I think we've even had the backstop of the Pan Ams, which used to be two teams would qualify. Now only one team will qualify out of the Pan Ams. So, qualifying for the next Olympic Games, the governments, when they're putting money in, they want to see Olympic participation, not just actually in years gone by, just participation was enough to get some funding. Now they want to guarantee medals.
Now, explain that, because I think a lot of people think that any country that wants to go to the Olympics just signs up and you go. It's not that way?
Well, you know, you obviously you're qualified. Depends on the, each country's, how they feel about things. And it costs a lot of money to send teams to World Championships. It costs a lot of money to send teams to Olympic Games.
Right.
And, if you can't medal, some of the countries aren't...
They say, well, then we're just not going to do it. We'll send them.
Instead. Or maybe in the case of Canada, they send a... Well, they tend to the Winter Olympics,
Ice dancers were in full force in the Olympics for Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're here, so does that mean we have a Southern Stars booth?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Just down there in the center aisle.
Of course.
Conveniently close to the main screen, I have to say.
So you can watch all day.
That's good.
Yep.
Of course, I'm talking about Southern Star Salary, which is Clayton's company, which has sucked up a considerable amount of money from my family. It's a saddle. So I usually always make one big purchase to Southern. I got the saddle a couple of years ago. Then last year, I got the five-way harness. So what's the new piece of equipment that I need this year?
We have got a new breastplate, and I don't need to promote it too much because actually we've virtually sold out. I think there's about three left on the stand. So that's been extremely popular.
Yeah.
It's a little variation on the 5-point that you've had. It's something I think it fits more a little more easy on the horse, and I just found it 5-point breastplate in some instance on some horses could not to be as free in the and this one allows a little more freedom through the shoulder. So, yeah, it's been very popular, and sad to say we're almost sold out of them. So been good. But there's plenty of other stuff on the stand. I mean, we're joined with Eco Gold. Ice Horse is there. We've got a little 0.2 stand there as well. Because we're it's for pair jackets in Australia, so they're on there. Something.
Okay.
Down, which is a little bit like the stick figures that go on the back of your.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, baby.
Yeah.
Dog,
well, we've
cat.
Got the my Nettie's down there, and so it's all the versions of equestrian sport.
Oh,
so
nice.
Little stick figures of there, and I think they've even got your trait. You can have your
Leslie's going to be down.
Yeah, there's got an eventing one down there as well.
Feature those on Horse Nation.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a Horse Nation kind of thing.
Yeah. But they've been selling really, really well.
Funny, stupid little. It sells really well.
Yeah,
every year.
Cheap and they're cheap little items, but they're fun, and all the kids are down there saying, "Oh, I want this one, Mom," and I want.
Well,
we haven't got any radio announcers on.
No. Hey, Clayton, report. Are we down there in Ocala? How's the farm going?
Really good.
What's the name of it again?
We're at Greenbrier. I like its little quiet lane. It's only one stop on that road, and that's us, really.
It's a lot of them.
Well, there's a lot of Pasofino.
You have, is it pink? They're all around there.
Pasofino Alley.
Yeah.
And
are your horses starting to do this now?
No, I love it, though, because even the worst mover in my barn looks fantastic.
Now, this happened to me.
No offense to the Pasofino.
And we have a lot of listeners that are Pasofino people. So.
Do your horses spook at them?
No, they don't. Actually, they find them really fascinating. And
they're cute.
No, I think they're really nice. I'm interested, actually. We had a young girl come over from Australia to ride with us and eventing, and it only took her a day, and she was over there trying out. I was driving up the road one day, and I saw this girl on a horse. And oh my God, that's Esther! She's flying along on the stage,
feet going,
yeah, like a singer sewing machine. So
they say it's a trip to ride.
Yeah, yeah. I think they look interesting. Anyway.
Clayton, I'll give you $100 for a video of you on a bike
with the board and everything, making all the noise.
Yeah, all right. we'll see.
So
might be
somebody out there, make that happen.
Yes.
I have to have
I'll
it.
I'll go over there. Get it done.
No, we've had a great night, and it's been very good discussions. I don't know if you've heard about
yeah.
those,
yeah.
but Michael Pollard, lucky guy, won a Harley Davidson when he was...
That I could see.
And Michael, I could see riding a Harley, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. actually, he won it, and he already had a Harley, so he's given it to Natalie's wife. So
they can have
now
a, they
got
a family of
yeah,
Harleys
that's right.
now.
Now they got a real pair of Harleys, and yeah.
Michael was funny last night, Leslie, at the press conference. He was in first place. And do you have the quote there, what he
right
said
here.
About his wife?
He said, on why Mensa's dressage is in top form, Michael said, I have Natalie at home telling me it's bad all the time, so that helps.
Yeah.
So very good.
You pay her off with a Harley. How's that?
Yeah.
But that's been really good. The course down there has been great. We've got a little cross-country schooling course as well.
You've done a lot of work there.
Yeah, it's been good. So, yeah. Hopefully.
Are you looking at bringing other shows into there? Making it more of a show facility?
It's really only set up for the jump cross. But that's fun. You know, that maybe you can do a radio show out there one
That'd
time.
Be fun.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
It's really good. We have the music and it's a pretty strong system. You know, it's the fastest one wins. And but if you have a rail down, it's 20 seconds added to your time. But the last fence is always has a joker. And if you jump that, it's 40 seconds deducted from your time.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of pressure, you know, if you had a rail to jump the joker. A couple of them didn't quite have the concept of that because that jumped very close and tried the joker and had down. They could have won just, you know, jumped the normal fence. But anyway, I think people will be onto it next time.
Nate Chambers, was he the announcer for that?
Nate did the original opening
we
had because we ran a little Nations Cup competition. And
I heard that was interesting, too. Nate hosts the Eventing Radio Show once a month, and I have to do a lot of editing.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. But, I think I end up
editing
the last one because Nate rode.
Okay.
So he saw the Harley and thought he'd rather have a crack at it. So I got to get my own back on Nate. A few little hairy comments.
Make the next prize the Pasofino.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Hardly last time, Pasofino this time.
Clayton Fredericks, coach of the Canadian. Stop by again. Give out the website for Southern Stars.
SouthernStarsSaturday.com or FredericksEquestrian.com.
Very good. Thank you, Clayton.
No trouble.
Yeah,
thanks for having
me.
Take care. You can have some chat now.
Bye.
Thanks, Clayton. We're going to take a little bit here for our sponsors. One of our sponsors for this Rolex coverage is Quincy the Horse Books, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring. They're here right below us, actually. Horses and kids are a winning combination, and Quincy the Horse Books are the perfect choice for children who love horses. The entire series is now available in both keepsake, hardcover, and e-books. This is something that you're going to be needing soon. The Quincy the Horse Books and author Camille Matthews will be at the I Make Horse Calls booth in the center arena of the covered arena throughout the Rolex event. I know Jamie's going to be there. We are too. Visit QuincyTheHorse.com for more information and find the series at Amazon and independent books. Take a break of the week. When I Get That Pony Road by Templeton Thompson. We're going to be back here from Rolex with more guests and more fun.
Face down in the dirt, every inch of me hurts. Guessing wasn't such a perfect landing. Alive, not sure how I survived. It was a hell of a ride till it ended. I guess that's what you get when you leave. You don't always end up on your feet. Oh, there's easier ways I could go.
Toclad is a proud sponsor of the Horses in the Morning Rolex coverage. We would like to highlight this week the Iridian Hampshire Breech. Marrying traditional styling with technical, breathable stretch, the Iridian Hampshire Breech effortlessly goes from the practice ring to the show arena. A smooth fabric finish and body contouring panels offer a comfortable four-way stretch, while chamois soft knee patches or full seat provide increased stability in the saddle. This traditional breech features front zip with a 2-inch waistband. The two front hand pockets are angled for a flattering look, and the back design lines are in the Euro seat style. For increased ventilation and no bulk comfort in tall boots, the calf is constructed with our wicking breathable mesh. Four great colors to choose from: black, classic tan, graphite, white. These breeches are perfect for everyday or show breeches. Toclad has partnered up with Wise Choice Tax, so go to their booth and use the coupon code HRNROLEX, and you will get $15 off the Hampshire breeches, or visit toclad.com for more information.
Don't you wish had an indoor arena that like this that we could call old?
Oh, this would be old indoor.
I know. Jeez. Sucks.
So you're hearing us okay? We're back on.
Everybody is
okay, good. Good. Well, we're back here, and we're also with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, who's been kind enough to join us here this morning. We really appreciate it.
How cute is Clayton Frederick? Oh, my goodness. And his little accent. Adorb. he's total adorb. Toast adorb. Cray cray. And I get all flustered when he's around. I'm like, I don't know.
We're expecting some more guests as we go along here from the Kentucky 3-day event. One of the other things going on here that we can't overlook is $120,000 Kentucky Reigning Cup that's happening in the evenings here at the new indoor arena, which is very nice. And that's going on. We're hoping that a couple of the Reiners will stop over. And actually, I've asked a couple of the Reiners from Sweden that are here from Sweden to stop over. They do speak English. So, and we met them at the WEG, and I'm hoping that they'll stop by here, or a couple of the American ones. We invited a whole bunch of them. We'll see if any cowboy hats show up. That's basically what we're going to wait for there.
And Leslie's here, and now I'm like potty brain. I'm like, oh, I want to see a dude in a cowboy hat. Like, I am not the girl that I used to be. I'm married with a kid now. I've got to stop the, like,
no, you don't. Never stop.
Okay. See, that's why we would be totally best friends if we lived near each other.
And we did.
She encourages me.
We did meet. I met baby Luke for the first time. I didn't have any time to hold him or talk to him or say anything to him because we were so rushed this morning.
He's not the cutest baby ever.
He is the cutest. He is as chubby as Luke, too.
I know. He eats a lot. It's shocking.
How was the trip over on the plane with baby Luke?
You know, he did actually really good. I sat next to a saint of a human, actually. This guy who told me that he was his wife is pregnant and they're expecting their second baby. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of an accident, you know. And by the end of the flight, he actually told me, he goes, I want to let you know that I'm now excited about having our kid after hanging out with your baby. He's that good. Like, he's that good. And, getting the rental car, I must just have, like, help me written on my forehead. And I just, because, like, the guy's holding, the stranger is holding my baby while I'm getting, like, my stuff together on the plane. I'm like, here, hold him. He's like, oh, I'll be happy to. And then the
you
rental car.
You never get
car,
that lucky in a plane.
No. And then the rental car chick was like, I'll just pull it around for you. Like, it must have just looked like a disaster. I took a selfie to send to Chad, and I looked at the selfie. I'm like, oh, God, I can't send that. I'm hideous. Like, it was awful. I'm like, hair is coming out. The stress of getting a baby and luggage and plane ride and airport is just too much. Too much. It was hard enough with just me. Now I have to, like, don't, like, I used to worry about forgetting my cell phone on a plane, or forgetting, you know, your plane tickets when you would have to carry paper, or forgetting your purse. Now I'm like, don't forget the baby. Do I have him? Is he in this? Am I pushing an empty stroller? No? Okay, good.
And, you know, now you know why you hear those news stories where people have forgotten their baby places, and you can kind of...
I don't know how you could do that, because I mean, I'm always like, do I have the baby? Do I have the baby?
I think it's with the people who have four or five.
Yeah.
You know, after you get to the fourth one,
that's
it's like, I don't care where that baby
is.
What
the hell? Leave him in the car.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll be all right.
He'll make it. It'll be tougher. Leslie, you watched all of Dressage yesterday, and you're kind of a statistics person and a math girl. So you came up with some fun stuff. Tell us about this.
I did. I'm always a bit tack here at Rolex. I'm seeing, you know, what the riders are using. And so one thing that I'm doing this year is taking inventory of bits and bridles and who is wearing helmets in the dressage and who had ear bonnets. And so
some of them are kind of trendy mm-hmm. nuances too that people put in their tack, and that's something I would read because I would be obsessed with it. I'm always like, what bit do they have?
Yeah.
You know, do they have the figure? You know, not mm-hmm. figure eight, the flash, or do they have it? Not, you know, mm-hmm. what's the deal? Because Clayton doesn't ride with nosebands. I just don't believe in those.
Yeah, you know what? Several of his riders yesterday we noticed had plain cabosins.
Mm-hmm.
Someone called Clayton the George Morris of eventing, taking everybody's flashes away.
None of that crap. I don't want any crap on that horse.
So what did you notice yesterday in the dressage?
Yeah, well, so there were about about half the field rode yesterday. So about 30 riders. 22 of them wore helmets.
Yay.
Which I thought was just super.
Good job.
Awesome. Obviously, those who you think they, of course, they have to wear their helmets. Well, in dressage, you can wear a top hat at mm-hmm. this level. So more than half. Huh?
I thought that was great.
That is.
And a lot of people might be thinking, well, I thought there was a rule, and there is a USEF rule for lower competitions,
mm-hmm.
but when it's an FEI competition, then the FEI rules overrate
right.
it.
Right.
And it is not mandatory in FEI mm-hmm. yet.
Yeah. Of course, the best top hat award went to Mr. William Fox Pitt. Abe Lincoln would be proud. He has the tallest top hat.
Yeah.
And he's already 6'5".
I know.
So he just
I
just
think he borrowed it from
his
the queen. You know, it was one of the queens in the castle there and just borrowed it.
I wonder, I mean, is that like an English thing to have a bigger top hat? I mean,
I don't know, but you know what? I think
he's going to tip over in that thing.
It's huge. And he already makes his horses look small.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not small.
But you know what I'm picking up might be a British thing. The two riders yesterday that rode in figure eight nosebands were the two British riders, Sarah Bullington and William Fox Pitt.
Oh, Clayton would frown on that.
He would frown on that.
That's so funny. The George Morris have been so true.
So true. There were also 22 out of 30 of the horses had ear bonnets.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, were they ostentatious or quite just, what's the purpose of the ear bonnet, aside from looking cute?
Yeah, I mean, they look cute. I think maybe they, I don't quite get it myself. I don't use one, but maybe it muffles sound a little bit.
Yeah.
Can
your horse wear earplugs? And
no,
okay.
No. No,
so
they're not allowed
maybe
to.
They're hiding earplugs.
They might be. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. Some of the ear bonnets are very conservative. Some of them are pretty flashy. So always fun to see who's wearing what people have got on their horse's ears. And that's sort of a new development in dressage,
the last couple years.
Just the last couple years. So that was fun. There were another sort of interesting tidbit. Michael Pollard, who's sitting, of course, leading, rode his horse in a full-cheek snaffle. You don't see a whole lot of those in dressage.
Wow.
But last year, our winner, William Fox Pitt, rode his horse in a full-cheek snaffle, too. So maybe there's something.
What do you usually see in an event?
How many
double
bridles?
Well, overwhelmingly, just loose-ring snaffles.
Really?
There were three double bridles yesterday. But
okay.
Overwhelmingly, you know, there were a couple, maybe four or five people had Boucher bits, which you don't typically see. You know, those are they offer just a little bit of leverage.
Yeah,
little ring on the top.
Catch. That's interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have even, you know, I have always loved the full cheek snaffle simply because I kind of come from a John Lyons background, and that's the bit that you know, he pushes. So I always got comfortable using it with the side to side. And then I went eventing in California, and my coach Barb was like, you can't wear that. Mm. Don't wear that.
Yeah.
And like had me get like a little loose ring thing. And I said to her, I'm like, well, I need to turn him sometimes.
Yeah.
And that helps me turn him, because sometimes I just have to do that one rein stop, boom. But once he got more broke, obviously we could change it. But that's interesting that it's kind of, I can tell her, see, people at Rolex have full cheek snaffles.
Yeah. I ride my horse in a full cheek in all three phases. He's a little fussy, and it seems like it keeps him a little
is
bit
it a Drake
stroke,
and
a little
like a French thing, full cheek, or just regular?
Regular, yeah.
Keeps him,
feels like it keeps him a little bit straighter, too. So, I don't know. Maybe they're onto something.
Yep. Well, if you are, you're ahead of the curve. Way to go. William
got it from me.
Models his outfit up for you. That's really cool. And
yeah.
So how many quarter marks? Did you do any?
I didn't inventory them, but let's see. Who had, you know, who won the quarter mark award yesterday? Sarah Bullington. Also, you know, the British rider. She had the most elaborate, I couldn't tell exactly what the design was. It looked a little abstract, but she had the most spectacular eye-catching quarter mark.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to Google that.
You got to Google
I've
it.
I've never been good at those.
Oh, no. No.
I had an opportunity. There's a lot of things going on here at the Kentucky event. In addition to the main competition, they have a whole bunch of demonstrations and stuff. I posted some pictures yesterday on our Facebook page. I got to see the guys from Medieval Times came up from Orlando, and we're working with the Lusitanos on the ground driving them.
Oh, my God, I saw that video. I was drooling.
And doing some airs above the ground. By the way, airs above the ground, you really don't want to be ground driving them right behind a horse.
Was it Caprioli was doing it?
I know.
He was inches from the horse's back foot as it did its
And
back
he got a cut. He did about 10 of those. And to explain to people what that is.
So they're ground driving them, basically. And the Caprioli is when you get a horse to leap into the air and double barrel.
Kick out the back leg.
That's
yeah.
like the white girl way of saying it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, just kick it in the air. you don't want to sit that, not on purpose. But these guys get him to do it while they're ground driving. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible.
Impressive to watch close up, by the way. He was right in front of me when he did one, and I went, oh. Everybody jump back.
Really?
Yeah, they were like 3 feet away from us, and they all jump back.
I saw the one guy trying to get the horse to do the passage, which it's all like he was you know, you have to run to keep up with them. I'd rather sit on them because then I have to chase them.
Yeah,
extended trot.
They're from Medieval Times, so they came all the way up from Florida to do these demonstrations.
Well, they have one in Chicago and Schaumburg, too.
Yeah,
the
yeah there's one. And yeah, there's one from Florida, and then they have
one
in Maryland,
Georgia.
Too. Yeah. Is there one in Georgia? Atlanta?
Yeah,
they have all over the place
Medieval
now.
Times in Atlanta too. Before I moved,
and they breed almost all their own horses. So they breed Lusitanos and things for the demonstrations
wow.
there. So, yeah, I thought you'd be impressed by that.
It was so pretty. You were like, "Who wants one of these?" I was like, "Me, me, me, me."
But they were doing all kinds of demonstrations. They had four in hand in there, Frisians driving around, and it was hours worth of just boom, 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 different demonstrations. And so they really do try and put on a show here and really make it a spectator event, even if you're not interested in dressage all day.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, you watch no dressage, but you can tell me the play-by-play and the
Lusitano ring.
The
yes.
ring with Elisa
yes.
and the Medieval Times.
I did watch that quite a long time.
It's the husband ring is what they should call it.
Pony Club is there doing games. A lot of Pony Clubbers. Were you Pony Club?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Graduate HA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You and Jennifer both. Did you do games?
I didn't. I always was jealous of the games kids because they look like they're having so much fun.
There's a dog chasing a tennis ball in the Professional's Choice booth right beside
and
us.
And it's wearing an outfit.
And it's wearing an outfit. That's
a
funny.
Professional Choice outfit, of course. It's well-dressed. Okay. I'm like, Glenn is waving somebody down over here. Anyway, well, so today the dressage actually started 6 minutes ago.
Yes.
And I have the order of go somewhere. Hold on.
Have a seat.
Okay. The first rider up today is going to be Park Trader, and, of course, that's Buck Davidson. So he's actually probably just got done and going to Lino Hanlon from Canada.
That was yesterday.
That's yesterday? By gosh, never mind. Okay, so how
first off, do. Let's see, Park Trader. Let's see where he is. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, he's currently in 16th. So look at that Insta results for you. share option, and Lily and Hurd is going in first, and then Jan Benny and Midair, and then Hannah Sue Burnett with Harbor Pilot, and those are the first three we're going to see. We will see Philip Dutton at 10:48.
And it looks like the rain has cleared for the most part.
Or
so.
As my friend calls it, Philippe Dutton.
It looks like
P. Duddy. P. Duddy. He thought my friend's husband thought, you know, he's like looking at all these names and he's like, who's this Philippe Dutton? And we're like, what are you, French or something? He's like, well, I don't know. It just sounded like, it looked like it. So now it's always in my head. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You have to get real close to the microphone.
Yeah, I'd be about 2 inches. Michelle, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Michelle. We have Michelle here from Professionals Choice, who's been one of our great sponsors for our Rolex coverage, and they're set up right across the street.
You know, I've already been in my mind. We did see the dog running around
yes.
with a cute
yeah,
little dog blanket.
Yes, he was catching my attention. He was going, oh, chasing the ball over there.
And so, she's wearing a jacket of ours because we're now doing dog clothes and beds and all sorts of things.
Well, terrific. Now, tell us a little bit. You have a lot of stuff at your booth this time, and a bigger booth, it seems to me. So tell us what you have here that might be new that people haven't heard of before.
You know, we've got some really neat new English saddle pads with some bling on them. We've
bell
got
boots.
Some...
I'm looking at the silver
blingy
glitter
bell
boots.
The
oh
glitter
gosh,
bell boots.
Awesome.
They're selling really well. We've got the open front leather boots. We've got some new single strap all-purpose boots. Some great cross-country boots. So
you guys have some open front. Is that so much tougher? This is open front jump boots. So,
and now we're doing spurs for the English rider and a whole bunch of neat things. So we're really excited and expanding into the various disciplines that are out here.
For years and years and years, I think people had the misconception and thought of you as only a Western kind of company because you just became so popular with the Western competitors and riders.
But they had more.
Right.
Western
you always,
stuff.
I mean, we've always used your products. I have driving ponies and I've used them for a long time. So, but I think that was kind of a misconception that's going away a little bit now.
Right. You know, my dad, who started the company, he's an old cowboy and that was where his focus was.
Oh, your dad started
he
it?
He did.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what he understood. And then when I came along, I always rode an English saddle and that's, you know, I jumped and did some of those things, and I could see there was a market that we were missing and riders and horses who needed our product. So I really, in the last 4 years, have focused on promoting those products.
Yeah, so what would you try to kind of promote the most? Like, what
you know,
are you focused
really
on right
known
now?
For leg care. So right. I really put a lot of focus on leg care, and I think that's important. And just everything at this point, we really... My philosophy is we're a horse company. You know, we're not discipline specific. We want to provide for horses, you know, and it's always been, our premise has always been the more comfortable the horse, the better the performance.
Right.
And of course, we've had Gina Miles on a couple times here recently. We love Gina and love having her on the show, and she has the Gina Miles collection of bits. And also the Monoflap saddle pad, which Jamie needs one of. So she's going to have to pick one up because she has a monoflap saddle, and that's hard to say that. And, you know, you can't find saddle pads everywhere for them.
No, you can't, and that's why we decided to make one. And she's also got a really neat half pad that's it's got these energy-absorbing beads in them. The technology behind it's really cool. So I know you're going to have her on, and I'm hoping she's going to talk about that pad.
Okay.
Just give her a list.
Yeah, we're going to give her a list, exactly.
Yeah, no, the Monoflap saddle pad is awesome because they don't make them, and all of a sudden, everybody rides in Monoflaps, myself included.
Everybody does. My daughter does. I just bought her a Monoflap saddle, so, yeah, it's a big deal. It's,
yeah.
You know.
Why are they becoming
She probably has a Monoflap saddle pad then.
Why are they becoming so popular? Explain the reasoning behind it.
You know,
I don't know.
I mean, why I like
it. What's the advantage to it?
I like it because you know, a regular English saddle.
And let's kind of explain,
before
you do that, let's kind of explain what it is.
That's what I do, yeah. So a regular English saddle, you know, you lift up the flap to tighten your girth. And we're talking about, Leslie just got back, we're talking about the monoflap saddles. Do you ride the monoflap
saddle? I do.
Okay, so we're talking about why.
So the regular saddles, you pull the flap up, you tighten your girth, you drop the flap down, and then you get on. But the monoflap saddle, the girth is basically where the dressage girth will be. It'll be lower, and there's no lift up. There's only one flap. And to me, the closeness that you feel to your horse is much more dramatic. You feel more movement. They can feel you more. Your legs are closer to their back. Why do you ride in a monoflap?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the closeness. There's less bulk under your legs, so you just
less bulk. See?
Yeah.
She's a writer.
That's why we're talkers.
Well, to add to the monoflap pad, we also do a monoflap girth now, so with Professional Choice, the Vintec, because our girths are really popular.
Yeah, it happened for years.
We've gone ahead and made a short girth for that saddle.
Which is, you know, when you are the only one that has a monoflap saddle at a horse show, this has been me, and then you forget your girth. Does anybody have a girth I can borrow? Sure, it's a 52. It was like, oh, no, that's not going to help.
No,
so
I need a 12.
I've had to borrow dressage girth to put on the monoflap, and it still doesn't have the right fit. So that's cool you guys are making them, because everybody loves the non-slip Professional Choice girth. Mm-hmm. They're great. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
Well, good. Well, thank you for joining us, and Leslie and I'll do some credit card damage over there in a little bit.
Excellent. I'll help.
She'll help us. I'm sure Miss Michelle will be glad to help us.
Bell boots, Leslie. They're silver, and you ride a mare, don't you?
Oh my goodness.
Don't you ride a mare?
No, not.
Can geldings wear those?
Mine can.
How about the black?
Mine can. How about the green sparkly ones there?
Oh, my gosh.
I'll wear whatever I put on.
He's not going to complain. What are you going to say?
Poor guy. Awesome. Gender issues.
We have openly a homosexual and we're proud of it. There's nothing wrong with that. Awesome.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Professionals Choice is profchoice.com.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Well, we are still expecting one or two more to show up here before the end of the show. So let's take a minute here before we go back to Leslie to chat about our final sponsor. Leslie, have you ever used Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
The horses love them.
I was going to ask you an open-ended question there, but you already beat me to it. Your horses love them.
Yes. Oh, no.
So how about Uncle Jimmy's squeezy things?
I haven't.
Squeezy buns.
Squeezy
buns.
Bun. I just got mine in the mail.
It's licky things and squeezy buns.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So how about licky things?
Yes. I've used the licky things.
Yes.
But the squeezy buns.
Squeezy buns. You'll love squeezy buns.
Oh, I'm sure. I love squeezy buns.
See, we love it when we love it when Uncle Jimmy pays for commercials, because it just gives us an opportunity to do all this innuendo.
I love my husband's squeezy buns. He's listening right now. So.
Are they individually wrapped like Uncle Jimmy?
No, so
Uncle Jimmy's squeezy buns are individually wrapped, so they're just kind of sticky. So you don't get them all over your pockets. You know that crap you get in your pockets all the time, and your treats are already in there. And between the hay and the leftover treat, going through the washing machine, it just makes a mess. Well, you don't have to worry about that with the Uncle Jimmy's squeezy buns, and they're perfect. They're little treats. They're little round treats, little bisques, and they're perfect because you can mush them up and put medicine in them. So if you need a pill to get down there, you just give it to your horse.
Remember
that
how
way.
Do you give Butte pills?
Yes.
Where you
have we used to
have
to do that.
Pills.
We used to crush them up with the...
Crush
them up and put them in. And then your horse wouldn't eat them because it tastes like crap.
Yeah.
They taste bitter or whatever, and they wouldn't eat them. So that was always a pain.
I'd have, like, apple-flavored Butte.
Butte powder. Just give it to them. They love it.
Yeah, they actually put flavoring in it now, where they never used to before. But, yeah, so Uncle Jimmy's is terrific horse treats. I'm sure they're here somewhere at Rolex. You'll find Uncle Jimmy's. Any tack store or feed store near you will have Uncle Jimmy's brand products. If not, visit uncle-jimmys.com. So now, where will you be tomorrow during cross country, Leslie of Horse Nation?
Well, I'm going to kick off my day with the Horse Radio Network meetup.
Thank you for being nice.
30 minutes before the...
Yay, Leslie, I set her up and she took the bait.
Knocked it out of the park 30 minutes before the start.
And it's supposed to start tomorrow at 10:30?
10:30, and so our meetup will be around 10 o'clock. Of course, we are going to meet at jump number 1, 10 o'clock, 30 minutes before the start of cross country. I've actually already met a couple listeners, so all of them were listening to the shows coming down on their drive.
Oh, really?
Lynn from Michigan came down, and she said...
Oh, was that Lynn here earlier?
Yep.
Okay.
And she was listening to the shows, and she said that her batteries died on whatever device she was using. She had to pull over. She's like, I had to buy overpriced batteries at a gas station to listen to the rest of the show. Sorry.
So that's at 10 o'clock, we think, tomorrow, before half an hour before the start of Cross Country. We think Cross Country starts at 6:30.
Why are you questioning
Because
me?
Last night at the press conference, they changed it to 11 and then back to 10, and they were changing the times as we were sitting there. So
no, the paperwork today
and
is what I got.
We got buttons to hand out tomorrow to everybody. So we have pins for everybody tomorrow.
Amazing.
First Radio Network pins.
Sweet. Awesome.
So we'll hand those out tomorrow.
I won't put it on. This is a baby hazard.
Yeah, that's true. Pointy baby hazard.
Yeah.
But we have a flag for you tomorrow. Today.
Okay, yeah.
With the big Horse Radio Network flag.
I got
flag,
the big stroller. I mean, you're impressed with my awesome
yes.
vehicle here?
Yes, I am.
Do you know how much a freaking stroller like that costs?
Like hundreds of dollars.
$500.
Whoa. Holy crap.
Yeah, that was $500.
Does it have a motor in it?
You would think it would carry me around. You know, there's like a step on the back, and I just...
It does have the four-wheel, off-wheel, off-road tires.
There. It's called the Bob, and I was actually at Galway Horse Trials, and I was pregnant, and I saw this lady, like, everybody with these strollers, like, bumping over the cross-country course, because, of course, everything we buy is to make our horse life easier. And this chick was, like, whoosh, whoosh, just gliding her baby over the cross-country course. And I said, I must know. So I chased her down. I'm like, what is that? She's like, it's the Bob. You have to have one.
Does it have an independent suspension?
It's got, like, shocks and everything. You
wow.
lock and unlock. It's really cool. Hey,
Leslie, love you to push her around cross-country with that.
Right?
By the end of the day, tomorrow, we all would.
Well, the little front area I sit on all the time. Hefty. But, yeah, but I prepared and try to get that through airport security. Thank you very much. That was a lot of work. But, yeah, so we got the big stroller. Basically with Rolex in mind, so I can walk around the cross-country course. We should have a flag attached to it. Leslie, when are you having your kid? I mean, don't I sell it or what?
No, not really.
What's the opposite of selling it?
Leslie, you are having a – are you guys having a – you're having a tailgate tomorrow.
We are.
What booth number? What place
we
number?
We are – 89.
Okay, we've been invited to a couple of them now, so we're gonna hit one booze food stop to another booze food stop along the tailgates tomorrow at Cross Country.
Yeah, we need you guys to stop by and host a round of Rolex trivia.
Okay,
that
we can
be
do that.
So much
yeah,
fun. You guys are the trivia.
We know a little about trivia. So we do that a little bit on the show. Hey, we
you
have
see our celebrity guest over there when we host trivia, and that's what we do.
Come in about 2 inches away from the mic. I wanted him. What is your name, by the way?
Oh, Ron Sterling.
Ron Sterling to come over because he is from the booth next door to us over here, mm-hmm. and we always pick a product of the show. And there were more people at your booth than any other booth I saw yesterday. So explain why people are obsessing over your product and what it is.
Well, it's called Pony Pal Stable, and what they are actual rideable mechanical ponies. They range in size from about 2 feet high, which is a child as young as 1 year old could ride it. And then we have a medium size, which will hold up to about 200 pounds. So
I can ride it?
You could. You could.
I'll try that.
And then we have an adult size.
We all need to go over there and ride for a picture after.
Oh, Lucas is going to be on the horse in about 30
Absolutely.
Seconds after the show is over.
And they have rollerblade wheels
they
on
kinda
them.
They
kind
of look
indoors,
like those rocking horses do, that kind of look. And they have the little handles to hold on to. But you have a suspension kind of movement in them.
There's a mechanism inside that allows the legs to move, so it actually moves like a.
So you kind of go up and down, and the whole thing moves you forward.
Absolutely. And then you turn the head, and it'll turn the wheels in the hooves, so
you
can steer.
Are you kidding me?
I've seen
no.
these things before.
There were kids riding them all over the place.
Yeah.
And they take them, what, about 2 seconds to figure them out?
Yeah, absolutely. All they got to do is bounce.
Yeah.
All they got to do is
kids
bounce.
Are good at that.
Yeah.
Bouncing.
This is like the I'm shocked right now because they're cute and I was like, oh, those are really cute. They actually move.
No, they move. No, they're really cool. Awesome.
What good's a pony that doesn't move?
That's true. I mean, it just sits there.
Well,
a rocking horse just rocks.
My son has the little rock and rider thing where you have to, you move it and they just sit there and they look panicked. So this is really cool. He'll actually probably enjoy this a little bit more. So.
Absolutely. And they have rollerblade wheels on so they can go outside, inside, anywhere you want to take.
And they don't poop.
They don't.
So
they don't have to muck their stables and no farrier costs, no, none of that.
Wow.
Awesome. How
really
much
cool.
do they cost, if I can ask?
At the show here, we do run a special. The small ones start at
$225.
Uh-huh. They're $275 on our website.
Okay.
The next size up is $275, and it's $325 on our website. So we save you $50.
Those are cheap ponies.
Yeah.
That's very cheap.
And they have a lifetime warranty.
I was going to ask how durable they were.
They're extremely durable. They're all metal construction.
Because even though Jamie's child.
There's not one plastic piece inside of them. When we started making them, the idea was to create an heirloom toy for a family. We all had those when we were kids, and they just don't exist anymore.
Wow, cool.
So that was the idea behind it.
Well, they're beautiful.
Well,
and
thank you.
They're really cool. I can't wait to see them in action. Like I said, we were setting up this morning, and I saw them next door, and I just thought, oh, those are really cute.
There's always one booth at every Rolex that has something that's new and different that just seems to attract the crowds. And yesterday, I swear there were 10 kids riding around at the same time over there. And you have a big open area in front. You're lucky to have that, actually.
We do. That's why they placed us here. Because last year was our first year here at Rolex, and we actually had some races going on.
We're going to have to race. Oh, there she goes. There's how it works. There you go.
Holy
see?
Moly.
See that?
And it's also nice to have a toy with
kids
actually have to do something to make it move. It's not a motor. It's not a battery.
There's no video game or video screen involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's terrific. What's the website?
www.ponypalstable.com.
Ponypalstable.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
We'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, we'll stop over.
Getting expensive. Man.
But you know what? Both horses, no vet bills, no farrier bills. Maybe
true.
That's the way to go.
All I have to do to say to my husband is they don't poop. I talked to him last night, bless his heart. Okay, so I set
he's taking care of the farm.
He's taking care of the farm all by himself. And so I set everything up. I put the hay in the field because we turn them out at night. And I already laid all the hay in the places it's supposed to get it. Everything was done. He just had to turn them out. And so he's like, thanks for doing all that. I did get all the stalls cleaned in the dark. He didn't get home until after dark from work. He cleaned all the stalls at like 9 p.m. So if you're listening, love you, babe. Thank you.
Now, that big guy that was just here is riding one of the little ones.
Oh,
and he's flying along.
Yeah.
Now we're all mesmerized by
this. They do hold weight, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Wow. Poor pony. Like, that's what we would call the SPCA, typically, a pony trying to be that big.
All right, let's wrap things up here. Tomorrow morning, if you're here, please do join us in our meetup. Leslie will be there. I know a bunch of people that are coming out. Of course, Reese Koffler-Stanfield from the Dressage Radio Show will be there. Samantha Clark from the Eventing Radio Show should be there. She's supposed to have flown back in from England last night. So she should be here. I haven't seen her yet, but I think she's around here this morning. We'll be back here live. This is a special thing. We don't usually do weekends, but Sunday morning we'll be coming back to you live from here at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll replay that show again on Monday as we're all traveling home. So we'll know by then. So the schedule of events today is they're doing dressage right now in the big ring. We have a screen here. We can see them doing it. So they're finished up dressage today. Tomorrow will be cross country, and then we'll be here before stadium starts from 9 to 10:30 before stadium starts. And we'll do the stadium round in the afternoon on Sunday. That usually is over by about 3. That will be live on NBC at 2 o'clock, I think, Eastern time. But USEF Network, you can just Google the USEF Network, is doing all the events. And they're free, right, Leslie?
Yes, they are. And definitely, if you're not here, watch Cross Country, because Gina Miles will be commentating, and she did such an awesome job last year. And she has all the riders, almost like right when they step off the course, they come in. It's really cool and a really great broadcast. So check that out.
And again, we're going to be here on a Sunday morning. That's crazy.
I know. There must be a million cameras out there all across the cross-country course. And some of them, they have those on the tracks now where it follows the rider along. It has them on tracks between trees. And
do you ever think of stuff like that, Leslie, and be like, oh, my horse would be gone? Like, I try to think of what my horse would do.
Overhead.
Yeah. Be bucked off over the.
Theirs are a little more focused than ours.
I know. There's a. But then you get Jesse Phoenix up here, like, oh, there's a little green. I want to punch you right now.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much, Leslie, from HorseNation.com and, of course, EventingNation.com. Leslie's doing a lot of reporting for them this weekend. If you want to follow what's going on here, that is one of the best ways because you're really going to get the color commentary, some terrific blog posts, some video, some interviews. John, I saw John yesterday. It was good to see him again. He might join us here Sunday morning.
You get the serious stuff on EventingNation.com,
right.
And you get the funny
fun stuff
on HorseNation.com.
Right.
Because just read the quotes of the press conference yesterday. It is hilarious. These people are really funny. So, well, Leslie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks
we
for having me.
And I hope you can come back Sunday morning. We will hang out tomorrow, hopefully all day. Hey, Laura. And, again, we'll be back Sunday morning here. I'm going to go stalk Zenyatta this afternoon, too. I'm going to hang out outside Lane's in front until they let me in. I'm here in the bluegrass. I got to make it happen.
We'll see everybody.
Hey, Peter Kelp.